Vodka O'Clock. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the new year, 2015 here. I'm Amber Love, the host of Vodka O'Clock podcast and the master of AmberUnmasked.com. Today, my special guest is Thomas Boatwright, who's one of my dearest friends and favorite collaborators, because we're a pretty good team, I think so, if I do say so myself.
I'll say so.
Awesome. We're also an explicit website and podcast, so if you're easily offended or under 18, go away, probably, is the best advice, because, I never know when, the divine will come through me and I will just start cursing up a storm. It happens. So, hey, Thomas, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here. It's been a while since we've talked.
I know. It really has.
I haven't had anything going on, so there's been no reason to talk to me. So it's
well, you've been doing some really interesting different things, like non-comic-y things,
yes.
Which is, I think the last time we talked was probably all talking about comic book stuff. So,
and then something happened.
and then things happened. And actually, it's a really good opportunity for us to talk about that because I believe it's still going on. If you hear my very loud clicking, I'm going to look something up. I think it's still active. Yes, there's as of this recording, there's a couple weeks left in the Norm Breyfogle Stroke Fund.
Yes.
They're crowdsourcing his medical expenses. He had a stroke, and it's devastating. And a lot of freelance people don't have insurance yet, and it's 2015, so you're kind of sort of like required here in the States. It was not an easy process for me to get into. I lost my job, and I was like, I still couldn't get in last year. It was really ridiculous, and so I know the struggle of what it's like to even just find insurance, no less be able to afford to pay it on a monthly basis.
And not to get political about it, but it would help if everybody was kind of on the same page of,
yeah,
all humans should be able to get better. Let's just agree on that,
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not the best execution of a healthcare system, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in my Twitter stream, I see people in the UK complaining that something like their national healthcare system is like crashing or something.
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't want to go through that either. Maybe, how about we all just move to Canada? Or how about Canada just buy us out? Wouldn't that, maybe solve
be acquired. Just like IDW just bought a company.
Yeah.
There.
Exactly.
Come on, Canada.
Yeah, please, Canada. We like your syrup. So, Norm Breyfogle's fund is still, it's over $60,000 out of the $200,000 goal. So it's just one of these topical things where we're always talking about crowdfunding, and there are people who do it for their product. And then there's people who are doing it for very personal reasons like this, either medical expenses. I've seen some folks use it for legal cases that they might be in custody situations and they can't afford a lawyer. Or in transgender communities, they need some money to maybe get their name changed because that does cost money. You still have to pay for a lawyer and court fees for that. So there's all sorts of reasons that people turn to crowdfunding, and you're here to talk to us about how you've been using Patreon. And
is it Patreon or Patreon?
I don't know. I thought it was Patreon, but then I don't know.
I've always been saying Patreon because it's like a patron.
It's like a patron of the art.
Yeah.
I tried to explain the platform one of the times that I was modeling because it was artists who aren't quite out there in the commission world yet. They're still in school or they're only doing very slow process commissions, like one a year or something like that. And, it's one of those things where I understand some people are just kind of anti-technology. I get that.
Right.
Not everybody wants to be plugged in. I'm just surprised when.
Well, I don't want to be plugged in, but it's how you make a living now. So it's
exactly.
I'm dragged that's, here.
that's kind of what I was trying to figure out how to say.
Right.
Like sometimes you don't really have a choice in it. I mean, unless you're of a particular, I don't know, popularity, status, time in your career where you really don't need it, where you're really not out seeking work and it's just coming to you,
right.
or you have the personal connections that you don't need to be on the internet.
Or you can like hire someone to kind of
yeah, you can hire someone else to do it. Like Alex Ross.
Right.
Alex Ross, when you see, big booth for Alex Ross at a convention, that's not him.
Yeah, and he doesn't need to. He's at the point, he can just hire, he doesn't have to deal with all this stuff,
Yeah, so there are these tools out there on the internet for people who are, whether they're artists or writers, musicians, in order to make a living doing what they do. It's sort of like, you have your chip jar out, but you're doing
That's the best way I've described Patreon. It's like, well, how different is it? It's like, it's just putting out a chip jar and people can drop in whatever they want. And, if you try to do rewards, which I'm sure we'll get into later, like the ins and outs that I've went through, but yeah, it's basically like, a tip jar.
So, but getting into the, like the Norm Breyfogle situation here, he had to turn to crowdfunding, which somebody is running that for him, thank goodness.
Yes.
Because of medical reasons. And, like I said, last time we talked, which was like 2012, with Paul Aller, it was like right around the time when you were starting to have problems with your wrist.
Yes.
And then the pain got worse and worse and worse. So it's like, so you managed to pull off a couple of comics, and then I just saw these devastating posts like, guys, I can't work anymore.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
Yeah, it was between, I think 2013 was probably my most prolific year. I did a lot of work.
And we should say that you're also a musician, so it's kind of, you were using your hand.
Yeah, I was using my hand a lot because I went back through my Facebook. I have a commission list thing, and I think I counted up over 100 commissions I had drawn. I think I drew probably 2, maybe 3 graphic novels at the time, or had just come off that many or something like that. And I've just worked for a lot, and I got into this is my big break, and I was going to do a book for Dark Horse, which that has its own little story, which turned out awful. And whatever happened last Christmas or so, I was finishing up commissions, and it felt like somebody had ran a knife through my arm, and I just ached and hurt, and it was just like all the muscles were tight, and I couldn't draw. All of a sudden, like the thing that made me was like, I draw. That's what I do. I couldn't do it, and the combination of thinking about my career, of where I was going, and felt like I wasn't getting anywhere, combined with, well, it doesn't matter because she can't use her arm anyway, I shut down, and I really didn't come out. I didn't have so much a nervous breakdown, I just kind of broke down. It wasn't devastating. I could still live, but I was depressed and just messed up there for quite a long time. And if there was a visual that would go along, it would be a montage of me just setting fire to every bridge that was near me. I would just walk, anybody who knew me, it was like, I'll set you on fire and goodbye, and walked away.
Right.
And
that's, it's not an unrealistic, expectation for somebody who feels like they're losing their livelihood.
Yeah. And it's, I felt justified in some ways, just like for me, like I can't deal with anybody asking me when I'm going to get something done or trying to work out. How many pages can you draw? What can this do? I have to just stop. I have to just walk away from all of it and start again. And I knew they would be better off without me. Try to string somebody along. It would just be better to be like, just go find someone else. I'm sorry that, we'll get over it. we'll be okay.
And that happens.
Yeah.
That happens, not just in comics, but that's in other things, too. It's just like, My house is perpetually under construction. That's why I call it the Winchester Mansion sometimes. Because it's never not under construction.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, you know, when's this molding ever going to get done? It's like, well, the carpenter has to go work on this other thing over here right now. He can't do our thing right now.
Right.
So you kind of get pulled around in different directions.
Right.
Anywhere.
And so, like, yeah, if I was that carpenter and, like, I couldn't use a hammer, I would be like, I don't want this person to sit in an unfinished house. Just go find someone else. I'm sorry, you know, we'll... It was a lot of apologizing and just a lot of, you know, it was awful. Anyway, and then I went to the doctor and he was like, well, we don't know exactly what it is. We can give you a cortisone shot. That might help. You have a tiny bone chip in your wrist. That might be why that hurts, but I don't know why it's hurting up your arm. And so it's, I'm getting a little better now, just, you know, not dwell on it, but I don't know if it's that I'm learning to live with it, both in like, learning when to cut off like my drawing times, or I try to learn to draw left-handed every now and then. I kind of forget until like my arm flares up. It's like, oh yeah, I should be using the other arm.
That's what Frazetta did.
Yeah, that was. I remember hearing that. Like he had a stroke and he couldn't use his right arm, so it was like, I'll just do my left arm. It's another in those great series of stories of Frazetta.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's one of those things where I don't know how long it took him to be equal with both sides, but I mean it was I'd be curious to see, because I've seen your sketches.
Mm-hmm.
The thing
I found is like the knowledge is there and it's the same kind of fight to get it from my brain to my hand. The only difference is that it's kind of like my right arm has so much muscle memory of the sketching that it thinks it knows better, so that's why I have trouble with that one. You know, if it's like, I can't get this sketch right, it's just because I'm kind of fighting myself. My left arm is just kind of dumb. It'll do whatever you tell it, but it just doesn't have the muscle memory. So it's like I have these two things in my hand. Like, this one's too smart, and it hurts all the time, so it's, you know, kind of broke itself.
Yeah, I've had practiced not necessarily writing coherently with my left hand, but I can. It's just going to look like it, you know, a kindergartner did it.
Right.
But also to highlight when I was in school, I would be taking notes with my right hand and then using my left for the highlighter.
Oh, nice.
And it, you know, and it's just a, I don't know, considering how bad my typing is, you'd think that I'd be better with my hands, but my typing is just dreadful. And, I know that for the couple of Dr. Sketchy's events that I did, one of the games that they do when they're, if you don't know what Dr. Sketchy's is, you go to a place like a bar and you have live models and you get to draw them. And there's usually like a reasonable cover fee, like maybe $10 or $15 or something. And you have a host who gets up and introduces what's going on. And in Pittsburgh, they have they used to have a really fun host who would do these different little games, and one of the games was, okay, now for the next 2-minute sketch, you have to use your non-dominant hand. And it would just be really cool because, like nobody would be expecting it.
Right, right.
It's like, okay. And, you know, each round they'd go around and, like, pick out a favorite or something. So it's good. It's definitely good, interesting practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I want to, you know, I know that you went through, like, you know, a couple of years of this pain and process and everything, but you turned to other types of art. Yeah, I noticed that. Okay, you sort of felt like, I guess it's because you use your hands differently when you're drawing sequential pages versus doing other things, like you make little puppets and little sculptures, and if you do graphics, then you can put them up on a t-shirt because you're not doing all the t-shirt printing, like screen printing. So, talk to us about like the difference in what that was like for your hands.
The whole just career direction came a lot more. I think it was coming to a head anyway. Like I've kind of always fought it, and the hand thing made me stop. Like I couldn't just keep charging forward. Like, you know, I need to get this book, and then I need to line up the next job, and this job will get me more, you know, followers this way, and I need to get the, you know. Because I was trying to get to maybe like a certain publisher. I'm not going to go into a story about that, but I kind of had my heart broke with something. And I was like, well, that door is closed. I'm not going to go that direction. Then I felt a little lost. And then like a few months later, like my hand stopped. And I was like, well, I'm just going to just rethink what I'm doing altogether. And I really took stock of it, and it was like, I kind of went into comics more just because it just seemed like a natural thing that I could do. Or, you know, it's like some people tell women, if you want to be a doctor, be a gynecologist because you can make more money that way, or something like that, or just whatever you think. Well, if you want to do this, you'd be better doing this thing. So I think that's how I just kind of fell into comics. And I'm a good storyteller. You know, it's not like I'm terrible at it, but I took stock of everything. It's like, I want to be an artist. I just like being creative. I don't have a passion to be a great comic artist. I just like to draw, and I like to make things and make little characters and just be creative. That's what I'm trying to do. So, when, you know, the hand gave me time, it's not like, oh, there's a blessing in disguise. It's just like, no, it just gave me time to stop and think about things. And so I just kind of changed the directions.
Well, it's, a lot of people have day jobs anyway.
Right.
So it's not like this is, you know, a revolutionary thing, but it's interesting that you had the opportunity, from a bad experience to try something new that's also rewarding, because I know that you're having fun with your little guys, your little demon guys and stuff,
yeah.
And your skeleton guys, and you also have a Pinterest, which is really fun to follow.
My Tumblr, I've started like doing more things. Like, I used to try to treat it just for my art, but it kind of get lost. And I was like, I have more fun like reblogging things and making comments on videos or, you know, images and stuff. So Tumblr's a mess, but it's fun to play around in.
Yeah, there's too many platforms. I just signed up in the last like couple days. I just signed up for like another 3 platforms.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, Jesus, when is this stuff going to stop? And even with one of them, the one I did today, I couldn't get like either of my 2 normal like go-to names.
Oh, wow.
Username. Yeah. I was just like, oh shit, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
so there's just too many platforms.
And trying to figure out like what to do with them, because you know, I can just take like, I draw something and it's like, I can put it on Instagram, and then I can, from Instagram, I can tumble that, and you can put that on Twitter, and it's like, well, anybody who's following all of that, if that's all I do, it's like, you'll get kind of bored with me. So it's like, well, okay, like Twitter, I can kind of interact with people, you know, it's more of just kind of like walking past a bulletin board. Tumblr's like passing just magazines around, like tearing things out and commenting. It's just having like a weird...
Yeah, Tumblr I use pretty much only for the podcast. It's because I even made the address Vodka O'Clock at Tumblr. Instagram is one of those things I don't really get why people love it so much, because it pisses me off that it crops your photos.
Yeah.
You know, like you have no control over the cropping.
Yeah, they have to be square is the thing.
Yeah, they have to be square. And it's like, and at least on Twitter, you can make a post and not include media. It's more about what you're writing. So I don't understand people that are like, oh, they're getting all these comments and stuff on Instagram. And I'm like, yeah, but they have to comment on something that's an image.
Right.
Like, you can't just have a conversation.
Yeah. And I was reading their Twitter from somebody, and she was talking about like over the holidays, she was with her family, and she's like, she used to be the nostalgia chick. It's Lindsay Ellis. She was talking about being with a family, and like how none of the teenagers used Tumblr, and they didn't really think of Twitter as being a thing. They all were on Instagram, and she thought that was just really odd. It was like, I thought everyone was on Twitter and Tumblr, and like there seems to be a lot of
teenagers. It changes every year.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, at some point, you know, like even Facebook now, it's so funny where now I talk to other people my own age, and they say that their kids make fun of them because Facebook is for the old people.
Right, and well, it is. Because once like, you know, parents get on there, and then, you know, either have to block them or, you know, just get off Facebook altogether. It is like old people get on there, and they like, oh, look at my grandchildren, and, you know, and all this other stuff, and they start showing all their families. It's not really the young people thing anymore. I guess Instagram is that. It's still...
it's still cool.
Yeah, like, you know, not that you're old in any way, but it's like you're just old enough not to get it. And like I
yeah.
And only,
well, it just annoys me. Like I need a certain type of usability.
Right.
And if I don't get that, because I just signed up for Sue. It's TSU.
Weird. What's that?
It's yet another one, and you know, so there's not a lot going on there. And I was like, okay, well, it's sort of like the bare bones version that Facebook used to be. It's missing stuff.
Right.
Like, yeah, you can post an image, but you don't have photo galleries.
Gotcha. Huh.
You know, that's one of the advantages of Facebook, is that it has, you can make a gallery.
Right.
And
I signed up for something. Somebody had to be invitation only. I don't remember what it was, but it looked like, you know, like notebook paper. It was like just bare bones of nothing. I was like, what do you even do with this? Why even? I can't remember. It was been.
Oh, that was Ello.
Oh, yeah, Ello,
yeah.
That's it.
That's the thing, like, everybody jumped on because they were like, it was like this exclusive elite thing because only certain people were getting invitations.
Right.
And, and it was going to be like this breakthrough platform that would finally put an end to Facebook. And people clamored for it, and they ran, like, they got investors to invest, like, $5 million.
Oh, wow.
Nobody is there.
No.
Nobody does anything on it.
Well, because I went in and, like, tried to, and I was like, what do you do with this that I don't already do? You know, who am...
And it had the same pitfalls. It's like, you're not providing the same robustness.
Right. I mean, if I knew somebody that I could talk to socially, I would just email them. You know, the only reason I'm on, like, bigger social medias is to find other, like, not fans, but, you know, other people. Like, here's my stuff.
Yeah,
I'm trying to show you stuff. Like, I could...
Yeah, no.
Like, why would I, like, you know, why would me and you join another thing to be friends when it's like, I have your email or I have your Twitter?
I was like, that's what a lot of people say. They're like, I don't do Facebook. Why do you get mad at me if I don't like something? I'll just text you.
Right, right.
I'm like, because you don't understand. It needs to be seen. I'm one of the people that's crushed that the television show Selfie got canceled.
Oh, really?
That show was so adorable.
Really?
And so good. I don't know how long they could continue that kind of storyline,
mm-hmm.
but the actors were really great together. They were so great. And when I first watched the pilot, I'm like, this is going to be the dumbest piece of shit to come on television. And I laughed so much. And then, I mean, it's uncomfortable. Like, the first episode is really uncomfortable
because
this girl just goes through all these embarrassing things. But it's just so funny that she's, you know, like, the best pharmaceutical sales rep. And she gets, and it's because she's so popular because she has 200,000 Instagram followers.
There you go, yeah.
And it's just like, it's like, yeah, but in the real world, the hilarious part is that people cut back on their social media,
mm-hmm.
or they try to make it really polished,
right.
and scrubbed, because if your job is looking at your social media, then you could get fired.
Exactly.
And which to me is a load of shit, but... but it was just really cute that, you know, in this little fantasy world of television, she was praised for this great presence she had online.
Yeah, I could see that, you know, happening in a way. You know, it's there are people I've followed on Tumblr who seem to be not famous, but they have a lot of followers and people send them stuff. Like, they're like a personality just from the things
right.
that they share. Like, they're not actually putting too much out there. It's just the things they find and show you, or, you know, that's... They have supporters just from that. And I was like, that's fascinating.
Well, I think some people, somehow they get lucky that way, and they just end up being able to then, like you said, become, like, we used to call it Twitter famous.
Right, right.
And even, like, especially in, like, cosplay community and stuff, call it cosplay famous.
Mm.
Because it's, oh, there's, you know, how many times did you share my picture? And it's like a fervor. It's sort of the same feeling that I used to get watching sports, which will shock anybody out there listening that I ever did. But there was a time in my life when I wanted to go into, like, sports publicity.
But you're a girl. No, you can't.
Well, just the fact that right now I hate pretty much all sports
right.
because of reasons.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know. It's that same feeling. It's like, oh, my God, this many people liked me,
yeah.
and you're thinking it's you, and it's not really. I mean, I guess sometimes it is, but it's usually just a very visual thing. It has nothing to do with you.
Right.
And it goes viral, and it's that same adrenaline that you get from a sporting event, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, it's
you just get really, it's this adrenaline and excitement and, I don't know, belonging to something, belonging to,
like,
the crowd.
For me to, like, draw something and then post an image, and then check it in, like, a minute, and it has, like, you know, 20 or 30 likes. Just to sit and watch all the likes or the favorites and comments, like, yay, I'm doing amazing. And then you do the thing, it's like I'll post something and then I'll go for a walk and come back like 3 hours and like nobody looked at it. So like, it's heartbreaking, you know, it's like missing a field goal or something.
And it's so funny that you mentioned that, because a couple days ago, if you guys follow Grammar Girl, this is a really fun website. It's called Quick and Dirty Tips, and they do these short little mini podcasts. And Grammar Girl is one of the best things out there on the internet. So she will actually, it sounds like such a dumb, boring thing, mm-hmm. but she will talk about grammar, and it'll be the proper use of semicolons,
right.
or, you know, colloquialism from a certain region of the country, and how did they come to that, and what does it really mean? So it's got such cool, interesting things. I had put out there on Twitter, I was like, hey, does anybody know, maybe Grammar Girl, if there's a word for seeing your notification icon light up
mm-hmm.
and getting really excited, and then you go and you look at it, and it's just spam, or it's, you know, I got all of this feedback because she retweeted it from people coming up with all of these awesome, hilarious words, and like but one of them was like, and twits appointment.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm like, that's it. I'm like, the disappointment you feel when your Twitter notification is spam. And twits appointment.
Yeah, since getting Instagram, and like, you know, you can share from Instagram to Twitter, I've got so many more spam bots, you know, of like, get this many followers from Instagram, and it's heartbreaking. It's like, you have 5 new things. I'm like, yay, 5 new followers, and it's like all those spam bots. Like, oh, man.
I got 3 Darth Vader bots in one day. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I can never tweet about Star Wars.
I'm getting like the Darth Vader ones from like things I did like a couple of years ago, like just a little sketch I did on like Luke Skywalker or like a commission or something, and then they're favoring it from like, you know, like it's over a year. I'm like, really?
I just had 2 people reply to me from tweets that were one was last April and one was last September.
Hmm.
Like, you're honestly replying to one of my tweets that's that old?
Yeah. And I can, it does sound weird and kind of creepy, but at the same time, like, if you see somebody, and like, oh, who's this person? And the fastest way to jump back through is, like, look at their photos, or, like, if I find an artist, like, I'll look at the photos, see what they've posted, and I'll jump back, say, oh, that looks really cool, I'll make a comment, but it's from, like, 3 months ago, and I'm like, well, now I can't say anything, because now it's just awkward.
Yeah, I noticed that, too, that it's specifically when people are scrolling through photos.
Yeah.
And that's not nearly as bad, but when it's just a mention.
I guess if they look for a term or something, and I don't know.
It could be like an old hashtag or something.
Because I'll look up like some old comics I used to be a part of, and they still have like, the first tweets will come up from like, you know, a year or more ago, and I'm like, huh, I wonder how that's still in the algorithm. So I know people have talked about it otherwise, but.
Yeah, and I got, this past week, I got a comment on my really old blogger where I would, which was strictly costume stuff.
Right.
I'm like, it even says like right on there, I'm not updating this anymore. You know,
you would be surprised what people don't read. I've people I've known who have been like fans of mine. I've worked with them, and then after like months of being like, you know, talking with them, they'd be like, I didn't know you actually drew comics. So I was like, yeah, I've done 3 or 4 of them, one through Image and all these stuff. They'll be amazed. Like, I'm going to go buy it now. I was like, who did you think I was? How did you find me? Am I just a guy? I guess I just doodle things. You know?
Well, but they should know you, and hopefully more people will know you because you have this Patreon thing. And
Patreon.
So you go, it's patreon.com if you are unfamiliar. And like we said, it's like to be a patron of the arts.
Yes.
So your URL is Boatwright Artworks.
Yes.
All one word. And what is it, what's it set up like for you? What is this whole model and process?
Gotcha. Well, look, I came to it, like I said, after my arm thing, and I was trying to come back out of it. And I heard some podcasts and things like that of what Patreon was. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty cool. Like I said, it's a tip jar, and it's not doing a Kickstarter where a Kickstarter is like, I have a project. And I need this much funding to get this thing made. But I don't really do big things like that. I do just like little stuff, you know. And so like the tip jar aspect, like, you know, works. And so I was like, well, I'll start this. And I ran it like a long-term commission list. So where you have like, you can set up different tiers from like, it starts at $1 and then you can make whatever amounts and whatever reward for that amount. I made up I called the Baphomet 13 because my little guys live in Baphomet County, the little devils. So the Baphomet 13 would be like $13 a month. You would get a 4x6 commission every month. And then after 6 months, you'd get an 11x15 commission for free. And then like the math on that, I think worked out to be like 70 some dollars, something like that. So it was like for 70 some dollars, close to 80, what have you, you'd get 6 4x6s and 11x15. I actually didn't think that would sell out. I was like, nobody's going to sign up for $13 a month. But it's all sold out within probably about a month or not even that long. It was less than a month. Like it was probably a couple of weeks. All the spaces signed up and they stayed with me the entire time. Something else I didn't think of was like, I didn't think all 13 people would sign up the first couple of weeks and stay through to the end, but they did. And those guys are awesome. And, I had a friend of mine, she does like clothing and stuff for, it's called Morbid Kid Designs. Look her up. She's really cool. She's still in school and stuff, but I got her to make me all these like little motorcycle patches for like the Baphomet 13 original. And, so I sent those out with the guys.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So after that, I was like, okay, that started, I think, in like May or so. So it ended around November. I said, okay, well, I'm working on it worked really well. The only thing criticism I have of Patreon is they really need to work on the communication because it does not work on a smartphone very well to try to message somebody. Like the in-system messaging is a pain, but they're working on it. But that makes it a little hard to like get 13 commissions every time. It'd be like, okay, everybody, what's your commission this month? And then have to follow up on that. And they have to go through their email, check that, and then go through the messaging thing. I thought about making a separate list outside of Patreon. It's like, well, that's kind of defeating the purpose of even having a thing. I should just, there's other ways to do that. So I stuck with the system that's set up. And then it turned out to be a lot of work that way. And then it all hit me that like, oh, I've got 13 large watercolors to draw right here before Christmas. And technically, I've already been paid for it, so I'm not getting any money right now. So the time I got to take is going to be working on these commissions. But again, trying to work on the bright side of things, like, well,
that's a good lesson to get out there.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've talked to people of like, you can Kickstarters, all that stuff is you can get in a lot of trouble offering rewards for things and not making the pledge amount. Basically, the pledge amount has to be more than the thing they're getting. I know that sounds messed up, to some people. It's like, well, I'm not paying.
Well, no, of course it does.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm not paying $50 for like one issue comic. That's ridiculous. Like, or that's as an example, but you have to, that pledge is going toward the making the thing and a lot of other work. And then you're also getting this as a bonus. I've always said like the PBS tote bag is like, right. I think that level is like $50. And it's like, you get a free tote bag that says PBS on it, because you're not buying a tote bag, you're giving them money to keep going, and they're kind of giving you this little thing to say that, hey, look, I did a pledge, or for like $100 you can get a DVD, which obviously takes pennies to make, but that's
How does Patreon differ, do you think? Because like Kickstarter, I know that you need to pay for the taxes, I guess, on your own. I'm not really sure because I've never.
They take out the fees. They take out their own fees, and then like it goes through PayPal, or you can set up your own thing. I go through PayPal, so PayPal's probably made like thousands and thousands of dollars off me. Just the way they have that Superman 3 scam where they just take pennies off every transaction. I was like, they're making a fortune. But yeah, the Patreon has their fees, then PayPal takes out their fees, and then you can donate to other people as well. You can sign up as either a patron or a creator, and you can have multiple ones. So if you have like, I guess if you had two or three, say webcomics or different projects, like if you want to start one for your podcast and one separate for say your cosplay stuff, you could have two different patrons. You do the Patreons. I think they don't limit it that way. Mine right now, after all that work, I set it to just a dollar. Because I'm kind of keeping things separate. Like, I really enjoy doing commissions. I like working with people. I like, it almost says like performing a magic trick. It's like, can you do this? It's like, yeah, watch what I can do. I can make a weird looking Batman. So I really enjoy that, but I don't want my Patreon to be that large commission list again. Because it's like.
So then what happened to the people who were at $13 a month?
They, you have to physically go in and you change it. You can change your pledge every month. Like, I really like what you do. I'm going to give you $20. And then at the end of the month, that'll process. I would get the $20. And then they would go in and they could change the pledge. Or, you know, I try to remind everybody, like, the week before. It's like, hey, everyone, the pledges are going through. Make sure you adjust your amounts to anything, you know, that you want. And they've all been very understanding about it. I've only had a couple of people who didn't get involved so much in the messaging, and they kind of missed out. And they got charged a couple of times that they shouldn't have. Or like, after I said, like, hey, this campaign is over. I'm just putting everything to a dollar. Please adjust to that amount. A few people have like, no, I like giving you this much. I enjoy what you do. Keep doing it. And so they've left it. Some people dropped it down to like $5, things like that. I had an issue where the founder liked my stuff and is like, hey, I really like what you're doing. He put me on the cover of like the front page. I was like, oh, I'm going to get a lot of followers. So I need to make kind of an in-between. So I had like the little cheap ones, like the dollar, the $3 where you get more follow-ups and, like I offer a discount through the store. But anyway, so it's like, I'm going to be on the cover. I need to have something kind of in between. Like, I'm going to do a prints. I can do little prints and send them out in the mail. That'll be, you know, just some stamps. I can afford that. But the way I was doing them, I didn't plan it out right. That was just too spur of the moment. And then a couple months went by, and I was like, this is just not working. So I messaged them, and I said, look, guys, I'm sorry. I don't like how these prints are turning out. Even if you enjoy them, I'm not happy with them, so I'm going to get rid of this tier, and I'm going to make it up to you. You know, you paid this much in, I'll give you a free 4x6, you know, just a little small commission. And they were all really cool about it. It's like, no, you're learning as you go. This is like a brand new thing. You know, I really enjoy it. Thanks. You know, and so they adjusted their pledges, and I made it up to them, and we're continuing on.
Well, what I find interesting is that, first of all, that somebody realized that this was a viable business model, mm-hmm. but PayPal already allowed for subscriptions,
right.
And I know this from my own experience before they kicked me out, that you can have recurring payments in PayPal. Poly Weekly Podcast, in fact, does all their stuff straight through PayPal. They don't use Patreon,
right?
So is it, you know, how much of the headache is there versus the visibility? And, you know, is it just easier to use than having PayPal buttons on your website? Like, what is the reason that this is working for you?
I didn't know that PayPal did that until recently. Another website I follow, Dinosaur Dracula, he's collected all this like little just chintzy junk and just, you know, and so he has so much of it that he sends it out. And so you could subscribe to like a monthly surprise box. Like, he'll send you like a post office box of, you know, like little cheap erasers and stuff. This is one of the stuff he has around. He kind of puts together a package and he subscribes to it. It's like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. But you still have to know who he is, know to go to his website or, you know, like, you know, be linked to that. Patreon, you kind of get that thing of kind of being discovered. Like, if you're looking there and it's like, who's making comics? And you can type in comics and I'll show you people who are making comics. And it'll automatically, you can set up like a front page of, you can put a video that says what you're doing. You have a little description like, this is who I am. This is what I do, just in one shot. So it's not like you have to go to someone's website and try to figure out what they're doing, I guess. Because if you have maybe an off day or a couple of posts that just aren't your routine, they could be like, well, I don't like this person. It's like, well, no, this is like, I was sick that day. You know, I was making a post about this other thing, or I drew really weird that day. You know, that's not who I am. But Patreon, you can say like, generally, this is what I do, and this is the amount that you can subscribe to or the pledge amount to. So it's kind of more of a, I think it's more of a visibility thing, because the PayPal, it's like you still have to know who that person is, whereas Patreon, you can kind of play around and discover things.
Right. I think that's why, even the constant debate over whether a project should be on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or something else, a lot of people end up just automatically by default saying Kickstarter because of the visibility.
Right.
And more people were signed up for Kickstarter, by the way. If you haven't seen the news, they are no longer processing through Amazon payments.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't know. They're going through something else now.
Something else called Stripe.
Hmm.
And what I find strange, for me anyway, I think it's strange, is how many writers think that this is like the great thing, because there's writers have had this, you know, love-hate relationship with Amazon.
Right.
For me, I love Amazon. Mm-hmm. It makes my shopping easy as a consumer, but it also made, you know, the ability for me to self-publish my book
right.
so simple.
Right.
And it's the biggest outlet out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't, I know that there's problems with now there's like a new VAT tax and, you know, for European sales that people are freaking out about. And then there was the whole Hachette problem that Hachette books weren't being carried for pre-order. So I understand that writers have had this
yeah.
relationship problem with Amazon, but I was really surprised that they were happy that Kickstarter was not going to be using mm-hmm. that payment system, especially because Kickstarter did have their own breach. I mean, it's, yeah, Amazon has had hackers. Every website out there has had hackers. I mean, there's, like, the porn sites had credit cards stolen. It was one big, huge thing, like, last October where it was many, many sites.
Right.
Well, Kickstarter had its own problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to have to give your information, your bank account information. It's not even going to, I don't even think, process credit cards. Maybe it will.
Huh.
But I imagine, I don't know why it wouldn't,
right.
But I know that it's like, okay, you just need to put your bank account information. I'm like, this is just one more server
right.
that's going to have financial data on it
yeah.
instead of it just being on Amazon where it already is
yeah.
and where I'm already going to do the, you know, most of my stuff.
Hmm.
So I thought that that was really strange. And I don't know. I don't think people are turning away from Kickstarter.
Yeah. I mean, it
but
definitely has this. If you have, like, a single project, like, you know, I have this thing that, you know, I've looked into it, it's going to cost me this much, and you can, whatever rewards you want to go to it, and I don't mean, it does have, if you have a single project, and that's the difference between, like, Patreon. I can't, I know some people, they do their issue maybe, like, bi-monthly or whatever comics, they do it by Kickstarter. Like, every issue is a new Kickstarter.
They do, and to me, I think that's really odd that that's the preference,
yeah.
and it's the most successful to do one issue at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't know, maybe it's because of my reading habits, but I'd rather fund a collection that's at least, you know, 3 or 4 issues long minimum.
Yeah, and here's the thing with Patreon, that you can set it up to be monthly, like if you just post a lot of things all the time, or if you take a long time to do, like, longer projects, like, say, if you, like, make music videos, and you put one out every once a month or 2 months or what have you, you can have it set up to where people are only charged when you post a finished project. So doing those comics, like, you know, you could have it set up to, like, you know, whenever I do finally put out this comic, I'll get, say, $1,000. You know, that's, you know, up there. But that's, you can do it either by, like, by project, but you don't want to do that if you're posting things all the time. Like, hey, I did another webcomic. I did, like, 5 this month. That's going to be, like, 5 little charges constantly.
Okay, because I didn't even know. I just thought that it was always going to be like a monthly subscription thing.
If you did, say, like, monthly, if you posted, say, here's, instead of doing my webcomic daily, I post, you know, 5 pages every month, or, you know, whenever, you can set it up whenever you want to, because I know a lot of people, they do it by video, like they put a song together, they do covers and things like that, they have a good following, but they'll be like 2 or 3 months they don't post anything. And then a couple of months, like, hey, we had all the equipment set up. We recorded 3 or 4 videos. We're going to space them out, but it'll be a charge every so often. And then you can set up reward plans to be like, you know, or goals, I should say, of, you know, we'll post, you know, weekly if we make, say, up to, you know, $2,000 a month. Or you can put, like, I'll buy a brand new camera to make the videos that I'm making when I reach this goal. You can set up things like that.
Okay, so when I'm looking, for example, I'm looking at your Boatwright artwork page
yes.
on Patreon, and you have these milestones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a quick note about that. I had one that was going to be the milestone was like, when I reach $200, I'll publish a Jabberwocky adaptation, because that's something I kind of want to do. That $200. I got there pretty fast, you know, between the $13 the club thing, and then I was like, well, I haven't actually done it yet, and I hadn't completely thought it through, so I still haven't actually done it. So it's like, that's another, if that had been a Kickstarter, and I'm like, hey, I might do this thing, let me make some money off of it, then it would have been one of those failed projects, and you'd have heard about, you know, this boat ride guy stole all our money, and I was like, it just didn't come together, between other work and just like not being happy with the story that I had, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then, so like right now, I set it back to like, you know, what did I say, like 500, I don't know.
Yeah, you have a 500 yeah. per month and a 1,000 per month. So what that, so when that's tallied,
That means it's like you know,
you're, that's basically like a bonus kind of a.
It's just like saying like, hey, reward. It's telling the community is like, this is what I'm doing with the money. I said, you know, a lot of people do it, like I'll buy really good art supplies if I get like $50 a month. That kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
So it just as
so like if I were to do that like podcasting wise, I'd be like, look, I need, you know, if it was something like, I mean, this is ridiculous, I understand, but if it was something like if I need $100 a month, to pay for like a dedicated virtual server.
Yes,
actually,
like,
probably
know,
about what it is. It's about $100 a month.
Right. So it's like, you know, I could buy a better website or better web hosting if through Patreon, if at the end of every month I get, say, $300, you can say, like, I'll get better web hosting. It's like, if I get up to $500 a month, then I'll buy a new camera or a microphone or that kind of thing. You can set up goals for yourself. So it's not like, you know, because you can reach that milestone and then the money can go away. Like, people can change their pledges. And it's not like you have to give the camera back. It's just like, hey, everybody, I'm trying to get up to get a new camera. If I get $1,000... If 1,000 people gave me $1, I could buy a brand new camera and I'd keep making videos with this camera. It's not like if you change your pledge or, you know, you stop pledging to me, I'm going to sell it and go back to this crappy one. It's like you've all just kind of helped me get to here.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I mean, the difference is it's a continual thing for you. Mm-hmm. You know that you're going to be producing some kind of content and product every month, whereas if my goal was specifically like, hey, I desperately need a new computer and I want to keep the podcast going, I would turn to something like Indiegogo and see how much I could raise.
Oh, yeah, that's
and just put towards like my computer fund.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you have like a specific need, it's just like, you know, while you've got your Patreon up there, it's like, what would you improve? What would you do better? Or, you know, how can.
Right, so that's just sort of like a different.
Yeah, that's not like I'm doing Patreon because I want this new camera. It's like, no, I'm going to keep doing it anyway. It's the same way, like. Instead of buying better like watercolor paper, I was like, I'm going to use the stuff I get from Walmart. You know, it's just if I was making more money, I would afford to get the really good stuff. That's what I would use. That kind of deal.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool because I think the a subscription model is great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of surprised, I guess, is where my head is. I'm just surprised at some of the indie success with bloggers.
Well, I have a thing, if you even bring it back to, like...
You know, like, you're not Dan Savage, guys. Like, why are people paying to read your blog posts?
There's like, three guys I have found recently who all do, like sword reviews or, like, you know, like, knife reviews and things like that. Here's, you know, there's a couple of, like, reenactor guys, and it was, like, you know, I've studied, like, the actual manuals, and people say that you can't... two-hand a sword, like you can't grab the blade, and he like grabs a sharp blade. Like, look how sharp this is, and I can grab it. And they'll do demonstrations and things like that, you know. And it's really interesting to watch. And they're it's kind of personalities in a way. And it kind of goes back to I was going to bring it back around to like the Norm Breyfogle and just like crowdsourcing and stuff in general. Is like humans, we like to make villages. That's why we survived, is because we kind of gathered together. But now with the internet, we can make our you know, these own little, I'm sure you have like your very dedicated followers. And so it's like, you know, you live in that community with them. And like people on Tumblr, I guess the guys who find stuff, they have their own little communities. And the guys who do reviews, you know, of like, you know, this is a medieval sword that, you know, you probably never heard of, or you're classifying this knife in the wrong category. Let me tell you why, you know, because historically it was this thing. They build things around them. It's a huge thing now to play video games online and talk about them. And I'd even do like...
Oh, yeah, I know, like Twitch TV.
Yeah, I follow a couple of guys. I really like the Red Letter Media guys. They do like, you know, he's probably more famous for the Plinket reviews. But they also do like Best of the Worst and, you know, some other like review shows. A couple of the guys, they play games. They're gamers. So they got on Twitch and they play video games and they have their own subscribers and people donate them games. They record them and they post them on YouTube and I can't get enough of listening to them, like, talk about stuff. You know, it's almost like they have a podcast while they play a video game that I can listen to for a couple hours a day while I'm doing other stuff.
And yeah, that's pretty neat.
And so, like, I donate $2 to them, you know, just, and I think they're up to maybe a couple of grand now, you know. But all their rewards are, like, you know, you can pledge, like, say, I think it's, like, $2 is the first one. It's, like, thank you. I think $5, $7, somewhere around like that. It's, like, you can get into more behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, when we make our videos, we'll post, like, behind-the-scenes things of, like, you can watch the outtakes or you can see what we're doing. And, like, if you pledge a higher amount, we'll show you the some of our archives, some of our really old movies that, you know, we don't want to show anybody publicly. But, you know, if you're paying that much, hey, you know, come in, we'll show you, like, the picture album, so to speak. So, you know, Patreon's really cool, and everybody, you know, any creative person, there's no reason not to have something like this. It just gives people, you know, a way to talk to them, and you can, like, put things that are, like, Patreon only, to where, like, you have to be on Patreon to even see this thing, or I can set it to, like...
Well, Kickstarter is like that. I mean, Kickstarter has updates, but right. It's when your campaign's done, you're not necessarily done, because I still get messages like, well... Like you were saying, like, well, since you supported issue one,
right.
Will you please support issue two? So you still kind of get, like, on this mailing list thing.
Right.
But,
This is, like, the videos, like, I get, like, you know, hey, guys, they'll the list I'm in is, like, and we're working on a new video in 2 weeks, you know, expect, you know, or we should be edited by then, we'll post it in a couple of days or something like that. It's like, oh, so I have something to look forward to. And it's like, I'm kind of not part of them, but it's kind of cool being on, like, their... not secret email list or things like that, but I don't have to wonder when a video is coming out. They kind of tell me. And it's really cool to hear, like, you know, I can, if I paid more, I could see, like, their old stuff and things like that. And
so for you as a creator and being on Patreon, it's, how, I don't know if you've ever tried calculating your, you know, your work hours into it, but, how difficult is it then to sort of take on this business management side?
It was, you really have to think about the rewards you're doing. Because otherwise, if you're just posting stuff and, like, you know, kind of join my club, you know, you can be part of the cool kids, you know, this, and for whatever different level you want to join, I can give you more secret things or, you know, you get more perks, you know, like, I'm going to do more just right now at, I'm trying to figure out kind of what to do with it because I run my commission sales on Friday the 13th now, and there's two coming up. There's one in February and one in March. And so, like, I don't want to get into doing a bunch of rewards for Patreon and not be able to do my, like, little fun kind of tradition of doing commissions there. So I'm trying to work that out, and I'm trying to figure out a way how to give something special to the Patreons they can use for – this is kind of separate. Like, I want to keep my commission work separate. Like, I will draw you Batman over here. If you're a patron, I kind of want you here, even if you're just giving a buck. I mean, if you're just giving me a dollar, that's great. I want you here supporting me because you like the things that I do personally. Like, you like my little devils, and you like my little skull people, and you like me wasting...
Okay, so it's more about the motivation and the thought process as to why you're supporting them.
Right.
Like you said, it's like PBS, like you do,
right.
you really
that's,
like
I was looking. I was my monthly puppet goal. I have, like, $500. If I was making $500... then I could justify the amount of time I'm taking away from other jobs, you know, or not running a larger commission list to be like, I'm going to make dolls and I'm going to figure out how to make them dance. You know, if you were giving me if I was making $500 a month, I was like, okay, it's worth it to set up the camera and make a background because it takes time to do that. And I would do it anyway. I'm going to keep making, I was making one now, the battery died on the camera, but that's, I kind of talk with the puppet now, to announce the sales coming up. So it's,
cool. There actually are a couple other, like, patrons that I wanted to just give a shout out to that I know exist. Mm-hmm. There's Red Stylo Media, so their URL is Red Stylo, and there's also Erica Moen, who writes the hilarious Oh Joy sex toy comic.
Nice.
And I don't know what any of their rewards are necessarily like, but I think for Red Stylo, if you guys aren't familiar, that's a publisher. I've been published through them. And they do great comics, a lot of big anthology projects.
Cool.
So if you like short stories, then you definitely want to check out their books. And they do things usually based around a theme, like Edgar Allan Poe,
right.
Or Freddie Mercury.
That's cool.
They're, you know, so they do a lot of things where you can get an introduction to all different kinds of creators. And they have basically like a book club. Like I think it's they're like their lowest, I think. It says their patrons can set up a monthly cap as low as $4. Mm-hmm. But they do have a $2 level where you can still get PDF comics with each update and stuff.
Oh, that's another thing. So, you said cap. That's another thing. Like, I was talking about how you could set it where the pledges would come through whenever you posted. You can set a cap to be like, I don't want to spend more than $20 a month, or like, I don't want to spend more than $1 a month on this person, you know, no matter how many times they post, if that's how they do it. So that's another option. For you as a patron, you can, you know, you can change your thing every month, and you can set a cap to monthly how much you want to give to a person.
Oh, okay. So instead of based by update, it's
right.
Once a month.
So if you found,
because I would think that the more frequently you do it, that's more fees and less money.
I haven't done it that way. But yeah, if you were posting videos and say all of a sudden, like the person you were supported, they had it set up like, you know, I'm going to give this person $3 every time they post something. And they just started posting like dozens of times a month. It's like, I'm losing money here. You can set up a cap to be like, I'm glad they're doing stuff. I enjoy it, but I don't want to give them any more than $10 because I want to watch Hulu. I'm going to pay for that, you know. So you can cool. You can set up the caps and things like that. There's a lot of, you know, both as a creator and a patron, of, you know, the options to do things with. So it's, and I guess in a way that's a little better than the subscription service, to be like, this is a set amount, this is what you're paying every month, and this is what I'm giving you. You can kind of play around with it. Like now, like how I said, I did like a 6-month campaign. That went through. I learned a whole lot. So right now I'm kind of cooled it to just the dollar per month. I want to do more things. One of my goals I want to set up is I want to learn more like printmaking, so like wood blocks or something like that. And so mm-hmm. That way I could offer you'd get a, you know, everyone who signed up for, say, like a $5 level, I could send out a postcard that I've like handmade. But I don't have the time or the ability with my hand to draw, you know, dozens of those things every month. But if I could do one print and like hand make that, and not just print it off the computer, but I mean like, you know, make an actual like woodcut block print, that kind of thing, I could send that out to everyone, and that would be something original that's slightly different for everyone. And every month I would make a new wood block. That's just an idea I'd like to do, incorporate soon.
So I just want to recap before I let you go that there were some interesting lessons learned that you had right off the bat.
Yes.
Such as don't get yourself in over your head with rewards.
Yes.
Is there anything else that somebody who would be new to the platform that you really want them to know?
Mainly just really think about what you're offering. You know, if you're and try to limit things, you know, it's just, you know,
have like a business plan before you jump into
definitely.
It.
Definitely, especially for Kickstarter. I know the international shipping is outrageous, and I know a couple of people who have really got in trouble and not ruined the entire thing, but it's like they can't even afford to ship the things just because of the amount.
Yeah, I know several people with Kickstarters that they ended up still going into debt, still putting a lot of stuff on their credit card.
Yeah, and that's why of late I've kind of got into like 4x6 arts. Not because I like drawing so small, but it's because I can do more of those and I don't have to worry so much about the shipping. Like I don't have to buy the materials for pack. It's just like an envelope. I can get like a standard size envelope.
Like birthday card size.
Like birthday,
envelope, yeah.
That kind of size. And I can put a stamp on it. Like I know that cost. And so it's less trouble for me, but everybody still gets like an original piece from me, you know? And I think, it's a balance of, you know, trying to run the business and also trying to be not so much a personality, but you kind of have to be like, you know, I'm selling me. That's the thing I want my Patreon to be, is that like you're not just buying a commission from me every month. Like you're supporting me as an artist. And in turn, you know, I can give you the little things as I think of them as I grow, you know, as I don't have to take freelance jobs, or like I can do commissions when they're fun, you know, and I think that's the main thing.
Well, I think that's, you know, I think that's an important point here, and one of the reasons that you and I started talking today about, you know, we jumped into doing this podcast today, because there was a Kickstarter where a writer who was kickstarting her novel, she had been traditionally published, mm-hmm. Her sales were good, but they weren't good enough for the publisher to pick up the sequel.
Right.
So she said, okay, well, then I'm going to self-publish my sequel because I really want to do it. I have enough fans that, in my opinion, to justify doing this.
Right.
So for a writer, just like an artist, if you're not at a day job, or if you're not going to take up, like you said, these freelance jobs that, you know, normally pay the bills. Mm. She had a plan. Her plan was to dedicate 3 months to making this novel. And simply because in the way that she worded her Kickstarter description, she said, I need this amount of money for cover design, I need this amount of money for my editor,
right.
and I need this amount of money for living expenses, like to buy groceries and gas and just, you know, pay for, she has a husband and children,
right,
and
right.
she has a house yeah. to run. Now, to me, that was, like, breathtakingly honest.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I would necessarily support her, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, I don't understand, like, if you're, it's still a paycheck, but people, I don't think, are necessarily used to the idea that they're paying a creator directly for their paycheck. They're used to saying, I'm paying you as a consumer for your product.
Right.
It got really, really controversial, and this poor woman, mind you, she wrote under 3 pen names. She has literally abandoned the pen name that she was doing this. Her name was Stacey J, and a lot of people have spoken out on her behalf and saying, look, if you just don't like a project, then just don't back it. I mean, it's just really that simple.
I've stayed, not connected, I'm like an old person, but, you know, I've been on Tumblr enough, and I kind of understand some of the mentalities of, like free content. I was like, why can't I get this thing for free? Why do you pay for stuff? You know, I can kind of see both sides of, as a creator, like, I don't want stuff going out there for free. But at the same time, you know, I want everybody who can possibly get a hold of it. So I think you should support the creator, even if, like, you know, if she's going to take 3 months to make a book and she can publish it, give her the money for that. Because half of the people are going to, like, somehow borrow it from the library or just outright steal it from somewhere, or you could download it. But
that's a really good point.
I say support the creator. If you're going to, like, you know, if you have the mindset of, like, I can find any movie I want from Hollywood, that's great. Can you support the people actually making the thing somehow? If you're going to take all the content and you're going to, like, take every picture and every video, you're going to illegally pirate everything, that's fine. Can you support the people when they ask for the money to make the thing that you want for free? That's getting into a whole argument there, but, you know.
Oh, of course. And actually, pirating in this Stacey J's farewell, if you will, blog post, mm-hmm. She mentioned pirating.
Right.
As, you know, as one of the issues and considerations. But I just think that it was odd that people didn't expect writers to have expenses.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you know, like, but you're just sitting there and you're just writing. It's like, but why shouldn't I, you know, be able to pay for the oil that heats my house?
Right, that's still a job. It's like, do you understand that if I didn't have this money to pay to keep the gas on or, yeah. you know,
Or for the, you know, $300-$400 a month that it's going to cost for health insurance, so I don't have to run a crowdsourcing thing if I have a stroke like Norm Rayfogle.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. It's like, I'm fully supporting the creator. And that's another reason I kind of enjoy or kind of like keeping my pledge amount on the Patreon down to $1. Is because if I can get somebody to sign up and give me $1 and then encourage them, it's like, there are a lot of other people on Patreon. Go play around. And, like, if you want to give me $10, that's great. And, you know,
I want to get, like, one last question. Mm-hmm. With this, do you have, like, followers like you do on Twitter?
Yeah, you can, like when you...
Do you follow, like, favorite things? Like, even on Etsy, you can, like, favorite a shop. So
yes.
That way, like, you see when that shop has added a new thing.
Yeah, because even if you, like, support a creator and you give them so much per month and you can't afford it, you can keep following them and not pledge to
you
them.
You can. Okay. That's what I was wondering, if there was a way to be like, okay, I don't have the money right now for, you know, these 6 guys over here who do this stuff, but I want to not forget about them.
Exactly. And I've kind of moved, like, I was supporting, like, the same people a lot. Since I brought my pledges down a little bit, I've pulled back on a lot of people I was supporting, but also I went looking for new people. I was like, well, when I get a little more money, I'm going to support some other folks. Because you can kind of get into a thing of, like, I really like you, and I like you. And so you start trading dollars. It's like, thank you for your dollar. Thank you for giving, and I'll give you $1. It's like, why even bother? You know, it's not for show, but it's like, I would rather us give that dollar to somebody else, you know, that we don't know.
Yeah, otherwise at that point, like you said, like, it's not making much sense. But at the same time, like, I know with Kickstarter, one of the things was it was kind of a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Where, the number of backers you got was one of the metrics, not just the amount of money you got.
Right.
So they really, like, it got kind of annoying when people would be like, can you please just pledge $5? Or, because they, I mean, everybody, like, it, for example, like an anthology project, people on the anthology also had to contribute.
Huh.
And that's, and that seems strange, but you needed to have more people there and see those names because it made your Kickstarter analytics better.
Right.
And the better they are, then you have a better chance of getting on the front page or getting features, staff pick, and all that stuff.
Patreon really doesn't seem to have that. It's more like I'm bringing people here who want to support me. Like, I'm telling my Twitter followers, like, hey, if you like all these little doodles I make during the day or during the week, you can throw me a buck. You know, if you're wanting to see me do more of them, because the more money I can make like that, I can do more of this stuff, you know. And so I'm pointing people to my Patreon, and not like, it's not a race to the finish. Like, Kickstarter seems to be like, you get like 30 days, and it's like, I've got to get all this money. People give me all your money for this project, or it's going to fail.
And hopefully if you have a month where, like, you get really sick or something, you don't lose those people.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm not really posting a whole lot, you know, and also I try to keep like a weekly update that I don't really blog anymore for my public stuff, and I try to keep that more just like, here's some images, here's some kind of things I found on my Tumblr that I like, but I talk more to the people who pay to, like, if they, you know, I send out, try to do like a weekly message of like, this is what I've been doing, this is the job I'm doing now that I can't talk about publicly, but here's an image, you know, a sneak preview of the thing I'm doing for this kid's book that's, you know, for an educational company, and I've got this job coming up, and here's where you are on all the commissions that I'm doing, and like, oh, by the way, I've got a commission coming up that I haven't talked about for anybody else, you know, that kind of thing. So there's benefits to it that way. It's really like, you know, one big convention center, and everybody has their own little table, and you just kind of walk around, like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, I make puppets. And I was like, that's awesome. You want to buy one? Well, no, that's too expensive. Like, but I'll give you $1 because I really like puppets, and you can walk away and find somebody else to give $1 to.
Okay. Well, thank you for, you know, so much for helping educate me, because I was really not familiar with Patreon much. So, guys, it's Boatwright Artwork on Patreon. Thomas Boatwright is who you want to search for everywhere. As he said, he's on all of these platforms.
Yeah, Boatwright Artwork will get you just about anything, or Thomas Boatwright in general.
That's true. So, you know, there's always Twitter, @T_Boatwright.
Yes.
Of course, you can follow me at amberunmasked.com and at Elizabeth Amber, because right now I'm not on Patreon, but who knows, maybe I will make that leap. I'm not sure. It sounds like a really good idea. I'm just really riddled with anxiety over the notion of...
My final word on it is, like, any creative person, there's no reason for you not just to put a bucket out in front of you and say, throw some money at me. You know, if it's... There's no reason not to do
it. Well, let me tell you this. If PayPal is the only processing system, then there's no way I'm doing it.
Oh, no, it's not. No, you can sign up with a card. I mean, it's... You can get your money however. You know, it's... If you can put your bank account to that, you know... So yeah, it's not just PayPal. It's like you can donate however you want, and you can get paid however you want, because it's actually under account. It says, you know, like, how do you want to get paid? And it's like, you can put in card information and all that stuff.
Okay.
So
So this has been very helpful. A lot of great information. And guys, thank you so much for you know, sticking in there as we spend, you know, an hour dishing about the platforms we like and those that we don't. And you can call me an old fart for not liking Instagram. I don't care. I like it better than Tumblr. Tumblr, yeah. Absolutely, I hate.
Like I said, I've only recently figured out Tumblr. It's like, oh, this is not where you promote yourself. You just, like, find stuff and share it with people, and they share things with you. That's fine.
And that's kind of
yeah,
it. Like, just whatever. But my friend Eric Grissom loves Tumblr, so he and I are pitted against each other there. But Tom, thank you so much for your time. Guys, if you haven't been checking updates on Amber Unmasked, please do so, because I tweet my post links a lot, but I know a lot of people aren't on Twitter. So if you're, you know, or if you get lost in the noise of Twitter, I understand.
If you had a Patreon, you would send them a direct email saying whenever it went up. But anyway.
There you go. So that might be one more reason to get me to do it. But there's, you know, there's been a lot of posts, not a lot over the holidays, because I know some people kind of back away from the world and the internet at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're looking for comics, I have a couple posts with comic recommendations, things especially with strong female characters, and just comics that I really enjoy. And then I put up a couple posts with writing tips recently this week. So things to bear in mind. But I guess that pretty much wraps us up, though, for today.
Hey.
So thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me. No one ever talks to me because I have nothing going on. You're like my only outlet to the internet.
Fantastic. Well, anytime you want to be on, we can do this.
Okay, well, I might come back if I have something going. If I make a $2 pledge level, I might come back and see what
happens. Okay. And then maybe by then I'll be on there as well. I don't know. Okay. Guys, thanks for listening. Happy New Year. And, you know, if you have any suggestions for Vodka O'Clock, please let me know. If you just feel like sending me vodka, please let me know. Hey. All right. And, of course, like I said, follow me on Twitter at Elizabeth Amber. Cheers.